Well, today in our gospel, we pick up right where we left off with Jesus from last week, that the verses are just right after what we concluded with last week. And so Jesus is still preaching this sermon. He's been traveling and preaching to crowds, and he's preaching this sermon to this crowd in the plain. And his sermon continues this theme that I talked about last week, about this sermon is really a roadmap to each of us on how we can be like God. And this really is the great conflict of our life of faith. If we really kind of boil it down, will we rise above our nature and be like God? I think that's the great struggle and tension we feel in our life, that in our faith we are called to live this divine life, and yet we're constantly struggling with living this human life and all the weaknesses that come along with it. And I can't stress how important and key this is for us to remember, not only in life, but in the nitty-gritty everyday moments of life. St. Athanasius says that God became man so that man might become God. God's purpose is to coming here to earth is to make us like him, make us live a divine life. And so this is the divine invitation given to each one of us. Will we become like God? And the surface, this sounds so beautiful and too good to be true, which it really is, because who doesn't want to be like God? I think this is what makes faith so attractive, that gives us the possibility to rise, live above our very nature, that we can become this new creation. The image that came to mind of kind of a secular vision is of Pinocchio, who goes from being a puppet to a real boy, that he transcends from this nature of being a puppet to actually being this new creation of a real boy. And that's what we are called to as well, to not be puppets to our humanity, but to be changed into this new divine creature, one after God. It's really amazing if we think about it. Everything that God does through the church and in our life is to do that for us. And that's what God wants. He wants us to be like him, to become like God. It's why he came down to earth and became man through the person of Jesus Christ. And so, like the people in the plain in our gospel, you know, we can hear Jesus in his sermon, and we hear Jesus say, I want you to be like God. And they, like us, say, well, that sounds great. I can become a creature creator versus creature. Now, how can we make that happen? And Jesus responds, well, if you want to be like God, then love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, turn and offer the other one as well. Give to everyone who asks, and from the one who takes, do not demand anything back. Lend, expecting nothing back. Stop judging and condemning, and rather forgive. All of a sudden, it doesn't sound all that much fun or exciting to be like God. In fact, it sounds quite hard. But Jesus reminds us not to fall into the trap that when we grow in our faith, or we grow in holiness, or when we grow to be like God, and then that does not mean that our life is going to get easier or more comfortable. That's kind of the notion of the heresy of the prosperity gospel. Well, the more I do good and become a good person, then the more good things, material things, will come to me. I'll receive material rewards. And when we begin to fall into that mindset, we have to reflect upon how hard Jesus' life was here on earth. That Jesus, who is God, was born in a feeding trough. At a very young age, he had to flee to Egypt because King Herod was trying to kill him. He grew up in this poor town of Nazareth. He He was mocked by his peers. He was in the desert for 40 days, and the devil literally appeared before him to tempt him. He was almost thrown off a cliff and stoned to death. And then eventually he was tortured and killed by corrupt religious and political leaders. The life God had on earth was hard. One of these things would have been hard enough. He had all of them. His life on earth was not easy. And this is the life that he invites us to live, to choose not the short, easy path, the one that our human nature is inclined to, but to navigate the steep and rugged path, to transcend above the life of a human, and to live the very life of God. We have a beautiful example of this found in David from our first reading. We hear of King Saul has mustered 3,000 soldiers to go out, find David, and to kill him. And incredibly, David finds himself with this golden opportunity to get rid of the source of all of his problems. He finds King Saul asleep. This man who has cursed him, hates him, and is currently trying to kill him. And to make matters even easier for David, his buddy who's with him says, David, I'll kill him for you. You don't even have to kill him. I'll do it. You just need to say the word. And so in that moment, David is confronted with that divine invitation. David can choose to go down that easy human path and justly kill this man, one could argue, in self-defense. We could justify his killing of King Saul. Or he can choose that rugged, steep path and to be like God, to let him live. And David, as we hear, rises above that human nature in that moment and loves and forgives the very man who is trying to kill him. David chose in that moment to be like God. St. Paul, continuing that theme in our second reading, says that we are called to bear the image of the heavenly one, not the earthly one, to become a follower of the second man, who is Jesus, rather than the first man, that of Adam, to rise above our nature. So what makes our faith so beautiful and yet so hard? That we can be like God even though we are not God. And yet that's why he gives us the church and he gives us the sacraments, because he knows we need help in this. So he feeds us with his very own body and blood at each and every Mass to strengthen us, to help us do that. We fall into that being a puppet of our human nature and have those moments of failing. He gives us that beautiful sacrament of confession to restore us and renew us to live this life of God. Through baptism, he makes us his very own sons and daughters, and in confirmation, he confirms us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All of these help us to live out this great and hard invitation so that we can continue to live the divine life over the human life, so that we continue to clean up after our loved ones for the 100th time, even though they never seem to notice our efforts or even thank us, so that we can continue to forgive those who have deeply hurt us, so we can continue to pray for that person who cuts us off in traffic instead of flipping them off. That might be a personal experience, but never with my collar on. So that we can continue to not push people away because of who they voted for, but to welcome them to our table. These things help us to continue to transcend above ourselves and live like God. Doesn't mean that this is easy at all, or our life will get any easier, for Jesus himself certainly did not have an easy life. But we will have a divine life, because God does not only want us to be good people, he wants us to be godly people. All we have to do each and every day is accept this divine invitation, if only we have the courage and faith to do so.